Now let's continue this thing about the heart, and I'll do my best to be aware of your time. I know that we have an early morning tomorrow, and if I could ask you, I know a lot of you aren't able to be a part of it, and I understand that, and by no means is it any kind of correction or anything. Just if you could, though, from 8 to about 1 o'clock, if you could just, when you think about it, just pray. Because when you got that many kids and that many people involved with that many moving parts, there's always bound to be something chaotic. And so if you could just remember to try and pray for the Lord getting the glory out of the whole thing and nothing occurring where it winds up taking the focus off of whatever the Lord sees fit to make the main thing. Look in 1 Samuel chapter number 6. 1 Samuel chapter 6. You don't have to stand tonight. It's okay. I'm just going to start right in where we left off. Now, I showed you this morning how Pharaoh was a people pleaser, more so than people think. And you don't know that if you don't read your Bible some and find out some of what the Bible says. You may not know this about Pilate, but Pilate was a man of the people. Pilate's wife even came to him the morning of the last conversation with the Lord. You know what she said? She said, "I've been troubled in a dream by this man, and you know what the best thing to do is? You better pass the buck on this thing, man. This ain't good. You better leave him alone." And Pilate, you know, gets in there. Then the people come up and they say, "Well, if you're going to do this, Pilate, make sure you say it this way, you know." And everybody says, "Well, he said, what I've written, I've written." Yeah, but he didn't stop the crucifixion. He said, "Well, the Lord had to be crucified." I ain't a Calvinist. If the Lord wasn't crucified by Pilate, then maybe Pilate would have died and somebody else would have done it. But boy, what a way to go. But you don't find that individuality nowadays. What you find is you find out there are people that will always do their best to be a crowd pleaser. You're not going to be the kind of Christian that God would have. You're always going to try to get the popular numbers and then run that number and find out what you got to do to get the vote. Now, if you live your Christian life that way, you're going to always live a compromised Christian life. You have to understand that being a Christian means there's some things and sometimes that individuals do things that are going to not hit you the right way. And you're going to say, you know something, I shouldn't be a part of that. Amen. But if you're like Pilate and if you're like Pharaoh, you know what you do? You say, well, what's going to be most popular? Now, I know you teach your kids that, and I know that's what you want us to teach them at youth camp. But when I say that to adults, you're like, well, I'm old enough to make those kinds of decisions. And listen, you should be making those kinds of decisions whether you're a kid or not a kid. You ought to be able to know there are certain things you ought not do, certain places you ought not go. You don't need a preacher to tell you those things. You say, why? Why does the Lord have to do those kinds of things? He's looking for Christian. Every Christian that you find in that Bible, you know what happened? Most every one of them, including all the apostles, they died because they were different. Would you be willing to die because you're different? It might cost you your family. It might cost you your friends. Might cost you your fellowship with people you really like. Got kind of quiet there. You say, why? It's the principles born out here. It's heart trouble. The problem is not the people you run with. The problem is you run with the people because your heart's messed up. You get twisted. And so then what happens? You get under pressure. And you know what happens? I showed you this morning. Then you start saying things. And what is that coming out of my mouth? Why did I say that? I don't know why I said that. Because it was down in your heart to begin with. And then you get under pressure. I remember the old preacher one time, there was a fellow that got up to preach. I won't mention names or anything. And he was trying to show me some things. And the guy got up and, man, I mean, he was just spewing poison. It was not good. I mean, he was talking about everybody that had ever done him wrong and everybody that had done this to him and everybody that had done that to him. He's at a big meeting over there and he's running this one down and running that one down. And I hate this and I hate that. And the title of his message was "Leave Me Alone," you know, kind of thing like that. I remember the preacher's got a piece of paper and he wrote on that thing. He wrote bitter, bitter, bitter. And he passed it down there to me. And, you get out. I'm like, okay, you know, I'll put it in my pocket. After the service was over, he's like a little kid sometimes, you know. And he comes up, he gets me by the lapel. He said, "You get that message, that note?" And I said, yes, sir, I got the note. And he said, "You know why that happens?" I said, "No, sir, I can't really say that I do." He said, "He's unprepared. And he got under pressure. And what was in his heart came out of the pulpit." And then he got ready to walk off and he stopped and he said, "Don't ever do that." And I said, "Well, wait a second. suppose I am bitter, and how do I keep that out of the pulpit? He said, preparation.
Yes, sir.
Yep. And he walked off. Now, see, some of you are thinking, well, what's the big deal? You know what happens sometimes? You get under pressure and you get to arguing with your wife or a husband. I keep using that a lot because those are the ones that think nobody knows about. And the next thing you know, there's something coming out of your mouth. You say, why? You hadn't prepared yourself and that stuff comes spewing out because you ain't got nothing else to say. How do you prepare your heart? Why don't you spend some time in the book? Well, I spend some time in the book. Well, if it ain't cleaning you, maybe you need to spend some more. How many of you know what Ajax is? Anybody? Y'all know what Ajax is? That's a cleansing agent, right? You know what you do? You dump a little bit out there and you scrub it. If the stain doesn't come up right off the bat, what do you go? Oh, well, it don't work. I've tried Ajax. It don't work. Well, did you try enough of it? Did you keep rubbing long enough? Did you keep working at it long enough? Well, I tried it. It didn't work. You think sitting down reading the Bible one time is going to clear the filth out of your heart? I'll tell you one thing. It won't pluck a root of bitterness out of your heart. Not reading it one time won't. You say, why? That thing's in there. Boy, I mean, it's big around as your stinking thigh, and it's in there destroying everything. What's the Lord have to do? He's got to chop on it and work on it and chop on it and work on it until He gets all that stuff where the ground around it gets soft enough to be able to pull it out. But you know what? Some of you won't let Him pull it out. You say, why? You got heart trouble. I'm not trying to be hard on you. I'm telling you, if there is a secret to the Christian life, it's what I'm trying to tell you right now, and the secret is the heart. It's how you think and it's what you think. That's why as soon as you hear something or see something, you interpret it through your heart. You're not interpreting it through your eyes. Your eyes are now being interpreted by your heart, what you think. You can set somebody up real easy. You make mention of a couple of things and then show them a picture. You know what they'll see in the picture? What you've been talking about.
Right?
You'll say, they used to do this to us in class. They told a story about an old woman and this, an old woman that, and this about the old woman, and old woman, old woman. And they hold up a picture and say, hey, what do you see? And they'd show the picture around, and one by one, say, how many of you see an elderly woman in the picture? And nearly everybody in the room holds it up. And then the guy puts it down and he puts it up on the board. And he said, well, what about this right here? And with the same lines that drew an elderly woman, there's a young woman up there about 25 years old, real elegant one that looks like one of those things they used to call a cameo. I can't think of the name, but they used to be black with like a little pearl colored but whatever that thing is, it's called a cameo thing. And you look at that and you're like, well, I didn't see that. No, you weren't looking for that. That's how some of you look at people you don't like. You done made up your mind. They could tell you, hey, how you doing today? You look nice today. Yeah, whatever. You just try. What's the matter? You seeing the old woman, ain't you? Thank you. I'll talk to these. Thank you, Brother Russell. I'm kind of balancing things out a little bit. I got two deacons over here and one over here and one trustee back there. We got to balance this thing out a little bit more. But I got Brother Mitch in the bullpen over here. All right, look if you will, please, in 1 Samuel chapter number 6. Now watch and I'll show you what can happen because you've got to understand, you know, people claim to be mavericks and they claim to think on their own and they claim to be rebels and they claim to be... I remember years ago where there was this big rush about these kids in school and they all wanted to be different. They all wanted to be different. They all wanted to be different. I remember my dad getting up and preaching and the youth choir had just got through singing and he said, I'm going to ask you a question. There's a guy by the name of Kelly then. I'll think of his first name in a minute. He used to sing with a group called the Spurlows. I'll think of it in a minute. Robert Kelly. He was the guy leading the singing. And they all got up and we just want to be different. We just want to be different. We just want to be different. And my dad said, hey, I want to ask you a question if I could. Just asking. He's making an observation. About, I don't know, 25 or 30 kids back in those days. Every one of them had on a pair of jeans. And every one of them had on a t-shirt. They weren't wearing a uniform of different kinds and colors. All the girls had their hair cut a certain way. And all the guys had their hair cut a certain way. And he said, I thought you wanted to be different. But the fact of the matter is, you may be different than all these people sitting out here, but you're just alike.
Amen.
Birds of a feather. You ever stop to think about your crowd? You'd be surprised how much they look like you. Oh, but we're different. We're different. We're different. But not around the crowd you're in.
Amen.
You say what? That's mob mentality. You're easier controlled than you think you are. You're controlled by popularity. I wonder how the people would feel about this. You get a... The poll numbers went up over 50%. I know what my platform will be. Do you believe your platform? No, we the people. We the people in order to form more perfect union? Really, you had all the people write that? Or was it a bunch of guys whose names are on the bottom of that thing wrote that?
Right.
Telling you what we the people are supposed to do. Right. Which is it?
Come on.
Look, if you will, please, this is in 1 Samuel chapter number 6. It's going to get better. Look, if you will, come all the way down to verse number 6. The Bible says this, "Wherefore then do ye harden your hearts, as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts, when he had wrought wonderfully among them? Did they not let the people go, and they departed? Now therefore, make a new cart," and so on and so forth. This is the part where David makes a cart and does the things he shouldn't do, and so on and so forth. Well, here's what I need you to see. It wasn't just Pharaoh that had a hard heart. Do you realize Pharaoh had an impact over the people he ruled? Do you have an impact over people you rule? That Bible says, gentlemen, if you're in your household and if you're going to be running anything, come to the book of Isaiah, please. Oh, let's just go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 5. I already gave you that one there. Have you ever realized the Bible says when the righteous rule, the people rejoice? You ever wonder that the people aren't rejoicing? Maybe the righteous aren't ruling? I mean, there's exceptions to the rule. But could I ask you this question, mom and dad? Your kid's heart's hard because yours is?
Amen.
You don't have to tell me now. I'm just trying to just give you something to think about. You go to the judgment seat of Christ. That question comes across the judgment seat. And the kid says, "Hey, I'm just parroting mom and dad." Hey, mom, dad, come on up here just a minute and ask you a couple of questions. Your kid says, you say what? Has an impact, don't it?
Yes, sir. Amen.
Doesn't it? You ever been around a water cooler? And somebody you don't even know, you're hearing stuff about, you have no business hearing, and you formulate an opinion without even getting the other person's thought or idea. What happened? You got heart trouble. You say, why? You're looking to throw shade on somebody you don't even know them. But you're right, aren't you? And you live a life to try to just corrupt other people's opinions on them. Because why? They might wind up liking them and you don't like them.
Amen.
Sorry, modern terminology, throw shade. That's... put down, belittle, make fun of, put down kind of a situation. I just learned that. I'm hanging out with the kids too much, I guess. You kids were going, how does he even know what that is? I know what it is to stand under an oak tree when the sun's out. It's called throwing shade, man. Cool you off. Take your Bible, look at Jeremiah chapter 5. Jump down to verse number 22. Make it 21. Hear now this. Oh, smart, wonderful, outstanding, glorious. We're so glad you're here, people. Bob Jones Sr. said one time he was given a conversation. He called them chapel talks. I listen to them real regular. Bob Jones Sr. is giving a chapel talk. And he says, you know, he got a little bit of a gravelly voice. He says, well, y'all, at times, I guess you could say we're all liars. Every one of us a liar. And it's real quiet, you know, when he says, I've even lied. I hate to admit it, but I have. He said, like this. I ran into one of you just a little while ago, and I said, I'm glad to see you. He said, what I should have said was, I'm glad I can see you.
Yeah, that's good.
You know what he just said to them? Oh, foolish people. Come on, preacher. You're kind of putting us all in that. Oh, foolish people. That without understanding, you call them intellect. That's what he said. You know, you can have a lot of intellect and a lot of knowledge about a lot of things and you're without understanding. You don't see the whole picture. I'm not going to preach a whole message on it, but how many times have you thought you knew what you were doing and you didn't know half of what was going on behind the scenes and you just went ahead and did whatever suited you and don't realize the collateral damage that you caused? Didn't even think about it, did you? You know what that is? Without understanding. Knowledge comes and then wisdom is how to operate it. Understanding what? How does this relate to me and God? You know what he said to the people? You don't realize God's watching what you're doing. If you're offended already, you've got a chance a little bit later on. I'm just getting started now. We're just talking about the heart. Why would you be bothered? Don't you want heart trouble? I got a friend of mine right now, besides Brother Kovacic, I've got a friend of mine right now, and he's got some major things going on with his ticker. I mean, you know, some things like Brother Kovacic, Brother Matt's got going on. Bad stuff going on. And you know what's a strange thing? He go to the doctor and he said, I don't want to go to a doctor and him give me the blue sky. Tell me the worst case scenario. Tell me what I need to do and what I get to do. You say, why? I don't want to just in the middle of the night just kick off. It's a real thing to him. Well, why wouldn't we come to the preacher? You're listening to more how I'm saying something instead of what I'm saying. You shouldn't be that way. The preacher got a little wound up a couple Wednesday nights ago and all that kind of stuff. Okay, maybe I did. Did you hear what I said? If not, go back and listen to it. I didn't say anything I didn't intend to say. Well, you know, you could have just what? Why'd you get offended by it? Is it possible you got heart trouble? No, not you. You not you. You know so much about it. Go start a church. Get it going. You know how to handle it? I'm not being smart. It's interesting. You go to work tomorrow and try to do the same thing to a boss that you do in the church. And I bet you your boss will be sitting down with you and saying, hold on just a second. How about your kids coming to the dinner table tonight? And, you know, they pull up there and they say to you, you ain't telling me what to do. I ain't eating that. Now, I know what you would do. You tell them, you know, well, you're going to eat it. No, I'm not. Yeah, you are going to eat it. No, you're not. No, I'm going to eat it. No, you're not. Yeah, I'm going to eat it. No, you're not. Yeah, you're going to eat it. No, you're not. Yeah, I'm going to eat it. No, you're not. Yeah, you're not. Now, I know what I would do. Okay. You can go into your room and go out. No. I'm not going to eat it, but I'm going to tell you what I'm going to eat. Oh, no. How much money you got in your pocket? You don't buy groceries. You eat what mama put on the table. You say what? You see, you're not going to like this. You putting your feet under my table. You're going to eat what she fixed. I didn't like it. Welcome to life. Think I'm going to argue with a kid over that? Now you do. Listen. Go, Dr. Spock will argue. Go ahead. You ain't preparing that kid for life. You think your boss going to argue? My bosses didn't. My daddy didn't either. My dad did tell me twice. I mean, I'll give him that. Well, actually, he told me once and showed me the second time. The second time always spoke louder than the first time. But I really learned pretty quickly I just better do it the first time. Because he didn't argue with me. My bosses, not where I came. No. They give you an order. You see a balk, it's like, okay, fine, no problem. Come on in my office. Here, sign right here. Refusing an order. I'm going to stick it in your personnel file. By the way, when it comes time for evaluation, you get enough of those right there, it's going to affect your step raise. How come it is when you come to church and God says, thus saith the Lord, you're like, well, you know, it's 2022, preacher. You can't do things like that no more. Really? Wait a minute, Pharaoh. Let me ask you a question. I just want to know this for sure. Are you telling me I can't do things like that anymore, or you can't do things like that anymore? I was raised in a generation that if I backtalk my mama, I get a fly swatter from mama, but I got a razor strap from daddy. I didn't even get a trial, man. I was guilty when she walked. When I walked in the door, have any trouble with the boys? Well, I had to get after David with a fly swatter. Bedroom boy. But daddy, but don't butt me, son. Bedroom. Do you want to hear my side of the story? Nope. Keep talking and we'll add one more. You got three swats. When you got three swats from him, three was enough. It's like, thank the Lord there's only three. You didn't want to add. You want another one? No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. I'm good. You say, what'd you learn? I learned to make sure that I didn't upset mama. Amen. The fly swatter didn't hurt her. We made it. We acted like it killed us. It really didn't hurt us. Hitting us with a fly swatter. Oh, that's funny whether you think it's funny or not. That's hilarious, man. Verse number 21. Hear now, O foolish people, turn on the air conditioner. I'm sweating. People are making me nervous. They're giving me the eyeball. What do they call that? The big hairy eye or whatever it is. You know, they're glaring me down here. And without understanding, have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. Fear ye not me? ? Saith the Lord. Will ye not tremble at my presence? No. Could care less, which have placed sand for a bound of the sea by perpetual decree. And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail. Though they roar, yet they do not pass over it. But this people hath revolting and a rebellious what? They are revolted and they didn't just rebel. That rebellion led to desertion. I'm out of here. The Lord said, you mean you won't fear me when I can take the oceans and I can put grains of sand together and say to the ocean, you can't cross this boundary. And you're not afraid of me? You know what they said? Nope, we ain't. You say, what was their problem? Well, you tell me. Not the understanding of geographics? They didn't understand geology? What's the problem? The Bible said the rebellious heart. You know what it can do? It will make you where you don't fear things you ought to be afraid of. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Is that right? Does it control how you talk? He said, be careful. Slow to anger. All right, come down, if you will, please, to Jeremiah chapter number 9. Jeremiah 9. You say, you mean my heart is capable of doing that? Yeah, it ain't your head. It's your heart. I don't like these verses any more than you do. I feel like I'm going to a spiritual cardiologist today. And I'm reading over these passages and I'm looking at them and I'm going, yeah, that's the problem. Yeah, that's the problem. Yeah, that's the problem. The Lord's like, get back from underneath that desk. I said, well, I'm not done yet. Oh, I'm not either. Get back out here and get on the table. And he keeps cutting and he keeps cutting and he keeps cutting. And I realized that I would say better than 90% of the problems I've ever had spiritually stem from my own heart. Every time. I got a rebel living in me. I really do. I have a rebel in me. I have a prideful rebel living in me. And any chance he can get to try to show out and show off a little bit, you know what he does? He rises to the top and he... See, y'all are like, oh, we ain't got that problem. Not us. Sorry you had the preacher. We'll pray for you. Get like we are. You know, you'll be good to go. Well, pray for me because I sure need it. Jeremiah chapter 9, look at verse number 14. 13. The Lord said, because they have forsaken my law, that be the Bible for you, which I set before them and have not obeyed my voice, neither walk therein, the reason I pick it up, semicolon here at the end, but have walked after the imagination of what? Their own heart, and after Balaam, which their fathers taught them. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, even this people, with wormwood, and give them water of gall to drink. You know what he just said? He said, they wouldn't believe, but look at the impact right there. Look who taught them about, look in verse 14, who taught them? Their fathers. Don't think I've lost my mind completely when I ask you a question. Have you passed on that hardness of heart to your kids? I'm at a church not long ago. We're fixing to go to Jeremiah chapter number 11. It may take you a little time to find it there, but it's just a page over. But if you need some time, you can look at it. I'll give you an illustration. And I'm standing out in the vestibule and, you know, kids are coming by and things. And I'm saying, hello, how are you? And hello, how are you? And all that kind of stuff. I said, hey there, young man. I said, how are you doing? I said, come on in here and have a seat. He says, I ain't a going. I said, okay. I said, well, I don't want to. I said, but let me ask you a question. You're in church. Why don't you go in? Daddy said. I said, oh, okay, we need to do what your daddy said. No, daddy said, we ain't going in there and sitting over there if them people are here. I said, okay, well, I don't know about them people. I said, but I just wanted to tell you, no, daddy said, them people. I'm thinking, what's a little 6 or 7 year old kid know about grown people, and he's coming to a revival meeting, and I'm standing out there just, you know, hey, how are you? Good to see you. Nice to have you. Glad you came. And all that kind of stuff that you do to people you haven't ever met before or seen or whatever it might do. That's what you do. There's nothing wrong with that. Walk in like a prima donna, me banana show pony or something and have this, you know, kind of an easy going, hello, how are you today? It's, you don't do that in the country. I ain't a going in. Why not? Diddy said. What do you mean Diddy said? Diddy. D-I-D-D-Y. Diddy. Diddy said. Well, what do you mean? He said, we ain't going in there if they're here. Did that really happen? I'm not just preaching. I'm telling the truth. That really happened. Sounds like some of you. I ain't going if they're there. Really? It's a pretty big building. Sit in the back corner. Wait till we get over there. You have a lot of places to hide. Go hide in the sound booth. We'll let you work the sound. We're always looking for people to go to work. I mean, I ain't going, Daddy said. You say what? Fathers have an impact, don't they?
Yes, sir.
You don't think about the collateral damage to your kids, your bitterness. Ain't a going over there. You know what? I hope one day that you wind up pastoring a church and you get a congregation full of people just like you. And you can know what a blessing you are to the body of Christ. You know I'm telling the truth. It's just you don't happen want to be the one to say that. You say, what are we? We are a bunch of stinking saved sinners and nothing else. And we got people in here with so many fleas on them, you think they are a flea, not a dog. You say, well, don't you think they ought to? Shut up. I like it. I get to play veterinarian. I don't care. I'll pick them off one at a time. Call me the monkey. Pick them off one at a time. The monkeys, they pick them off, look at them, and then eat them. I'm not. But you know something, ladies and gentlemen? I don't understand that. Except your heart has to be making you think that you're more than you are, that you're not associating with people that are, oh my God, beneath you. You'd have never talked to the woman at the well. You'd have never talked to somebody. No, you, not you, no, because you'd be thinking, oh man, what are they going to think about me? I'm out there at the well, you know, middle of the day, you know. Yeah, to try to give a woman an everlasting drink. I don't understand that. You say, what happens when people got saved? You say, what are they? You still got this carcass.
Yes, sir.
You know what got saved on me? My soul. Can you see my soul? When's the last time you saw my soul? Can you see my soul? Can you see my soul? You can't see my soul. You've never seen the saved part of me ever. You know all you see? This thing. Catch me yesterday after about 48, 49 something hours like that up and coming in. You know, I'm dragging a little bit and having, you know, and that kind of thing. And you probably, if you pulled up the traffic lights, you'd be like, man, what's wrong with him? He's backslidden. He's the devil. He's a preacher. You know how they are. You know how they are. I was just sleepy and probably not a good time and pull up and there's a car wreck in front of me and a bunch of people got hurt and rescues there and all that. And I'm in. I felt like I was in a rocking chair, man. I thought, I'm going to go to sleep. Stop and start. I'm like, Lord, I just want to go home. And the Lord's like, you better just pull over. You're going to fall asleep. But if you were to see me, you know what you'd think? Dang, no preacher. Look at him. Everybody's like that. I didn't cuss. I didn't say nothing wrong. I just was, this sure is frustrating, Lord. It'd be great if I had a helicopter right now. But for somebody else, it's a bad day.
That's right.
And when I got up there and I saw that, I thought to myself, boy, it ain't too bad of a day that you had to stop and start and miss a few hours of sleep, whoever that is. If I guarantee you one of them, if they ain't dead, I guarantee you they're wrapped up in the hospital.
Right.
Kind of put things in perspective.
Yeah, sure.
You can't be inconvenienced. What if you had the wreck? And people are having to go around you. Listen to me. People have wrecks around here all the time. And sometimes it clogs it up and you have to stop and start a little bit and all that kind of stuff. But you ain't had the wreck and you just have a little grace until you get a chance to get around them. You say, why? We're a mess. That's why we have a hospital. There ain't nobody in here that I know of that don't have trouble. Thank God it don't hit all of us at one time. But some of us get hung up in the traffic jam, don't we? Because we think, well, you know what, I'm important. I need to be somewhere. Jeremiah chapter number 11. Thank you, Deke. Preacher, we wish you'd have stayed in Alaska. Well, I ain't staying in Alaska. You say, why? My home is in Jacksonville. If you want to go to Alaska, pack your stuff and go on. My furniture is nailed to the floor. I ain't going nowhere. I mean, unless the Lord kills me. But other than that, y'all got to put up with me. Well, you need a little preparation H. Okay, we'll go get you a gigantic tube. Verse number 7. For I earnestly protested unto your fathers in the day that I brought them up out of the land of Egypt, even unto this day, rising early and protesting, say, obey my voice. Now let me ask you a question. Do you have a hard time obeying the Lord? The answer has to be an unequivocally Yes, unless he asks me to do something I want to do. Give me an example. Okay, before I read you this, here's an example. The Lord said, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. He said, obey. Men, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. He said, obey. Shall I continue? Let all bitterness and wrath and anger be put away from you with all evil speaking and put away with evil speaking and all malice. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed to the day of redemption. Shall I continue? Aged women teach the younger women how to love their husbands. Is that what you teach them, ma'am? Some of you gray-headed elderly ladies? You teach them how to love? I'm talking somebody younger than you. You don't have to be an old woman to teach that. You've been married more than 5 years. You learned some things, haven't you? Is that what you teach the ones in your tutelage? Is that what you teach them how to love their husband or how to work around the corners? I'm just asking. I'm just saying. You say, the Lord's doing what? Obey my voice. You say, well, okay. Well, what's the Lord doing every morning, every evening? You need to listen to me. You need to listen to me. You need to listen to me. Do you listen to him? If you listen to him, why does he keep telling you?
Amen.
There you go.
Amen.
Yeah.
Notice this verse number 8. Yet they obeyed not, nor inclined their ear, but walked every one in the imagination of their evil heart. Therefore I will bring upon them all the words of the covenant which I commanded them to do, but they did them not. The Lord said, I told them what was right to do, and they still didn't do it. You know, he said, I'm going to do what I want to do. Well, the way I see it, preacher, you folks just don't understand. Okay, you're right, I don't. What does the Bible say? Well, but what you have to understand, hey, you know what that Bible says? That Bible says that if you're going to teach other people, you ain't supposed to be a novice. You better be careful about speaking over whatever you think you know just because, no, you better watch it. Some of these ladies in Sunday school know more than some of you fellows. You say, why? They're not a novice. They've been teaching 20 years.
Amen.
You might all maybe say, well, when it comes to teaching kids, and women are pretty good at it. They've done pretty good with your kids, haven't they?
Amen.
I think they have. We should have maybe kept a record of it. We never have been much on keeping records, but how many little kids have been saved back there in them Sunday school classes? Some of them just come through here. Some of them get saved in Vacation Bible School. You never see them again, but you will see them one day.
Right.
Jeremiah, let me hurry up here. Jeremiah chapter 16. Y'all are like, well, I wish you would hurry. We're not enjoying the commentary. You say, what's her? I'm preaching on practical preaching.
Amen.
I'm preaching on what your problem is right now.
Amen.
You say, what's my problem? Your problem's your heart.
Yes.
Problem's how you think. Imagination is not all this outlandish stuff. It's, well, the way I see it, you got to be careful, because if it's the way you see it, if it's in your heart, you know what you're going to do? You're going to start teaching it. You're going to start preaching it. You're going to start living it. You better be careful how you see it. You say, why? Hadn't it worn you down where? I doubt hardly any of you even bothered anymore when you see two guys or two girls kissing in public. You're probably like, well, that happens. Used to, you'd be like, oh, no, uh-uh. Now you live in a society that is condoning that, and something's wrong with you. If you say anything, they want to arrest you for hate speech. I get that, turn it down all the time. Preacher, you got to be, listen, I'm not saying go out here and protest and say them people deserve to go to hell and all that kind of stuff, and there should be capital punishment for them. Don't be stupid. I never condone that kind of foolishness. But you know what happens? Before long kind of wears you down. You want me to give you the step before that? I warned you about this 25 years ago. I said, you keep going the way that you're going, it won't be long that the preacher gets up and says that you ought to be married before you have physical relationship, and you ought to be married before you're having children and stuff like that. And people, amen, amen, but that'll never happen. And now it's like, well, preacher, you know, we test drive a car before we buy it, so I just don't really know that. What? Where'd that come from? Well, you know, I happen to know this one. I didn't say people don't mess up, but it don't change the Bible, and you can still forgive them, but you don't change your way of thinking because all of a sudden it's a little too close to home. It's still wrong. Well, everybody does it. I don't care if everybody does it. Most everybody's going to go to hell. That don't mean I'm going with them. Some where? You got to draw a line. You got to be kidding me. You're making this thing where it's like, I just got to get along with everybody. You must have a wicked heart. You must be wanting the accolade. You must be weak is what it must be, because you're wanting everybody's approval. If you live for the Lord, you may get His approval and nobody else. You got to understand that. That's part of being a Christian. And you don't have to be a jerk to do it. Even women can do it. I ain't wearing that.
Amen.
I ain't going there.
Amen.
I don't care if everybody wears that. Well, everybody in our little group at church, they wear this. I know what the preacher said, but he ain't going to be there. You're right. Question would be, why are you there?
Amen.
Why are you different outside of church? And then why is it that you go and get your buddies and get a little close to the cotton? Why is that? I can tell you why. You've got heart trouble.
Amen.
I'm not laying down a legalistic law. I know what your problem is. The problem's you. It ain't them other people.
Amen.
The problem is you don't take your role in Christ serious. Well, preacher, you know so-and-so, and they got messed up. Tell me all about it, okay? You don't know as much as you may think you know, and you don't know as much about me as you think you know. Tell me all about it. But it don't change things. I don't care how close it is in your family. It don't change right.
Amen.
You think that our life is just tulips and daisies and unicorns and popcorn and rainbows? No, forget the rainbows. You think that's... It ain't that way. We got the same trouble, if not more, than you got. We just don't make it public. But guess what? There are certain people, even in the family, we can't have fellowship with. You say, well, but you know, it's the family. Hey, I've been raised in the South, sonny boy. I know all that junk. You can justify a wicked conscience any way you want to.
Amen.
If you want to do that, then don't bother you. No problem. But it bothers me. I ain't doing it.
Amen.
You say, what do? They don't like me.
Amen.
They don't. You can call some people in my family. You know what they do? They don't like me.
That's
all right.
That's
all right. Well, I got a family that likes me.
Amen.
I think.
Amen.
I lose one. I picked up 100. You say, why? I'm on His side. I want to die on His side. You want to pray a prayer for me? Preach with power or preach with... No, no. Die on the right side, preacher. Die on the right side. I don't want to get old. You know what my dad was afraid of when he was dying? This is the kind of man my daddy was. He called me in there and said, come here, boy. He's weak by that time. He's turning yeller, swelling up. Come here, boy. And I said, yes, sir. He called me boy. I was a grown man. All decked out and everything, you know, big old, you know, call me boy. Yes, sir. I went over there like a little mouse. I said, yes, sir. He said, come here. I said, yes, sir. He said, now I need you to do something for me. And I said, okay, Daddy, what's that? He said, well, he said, I'm liable to say or do something really bad. And he said, there was a boy by the name of Barclay, wrote a bunch of commentaries and stuff, and he came to the end of life and he denied the virgin birth and he denied the rapture and he denied all these pre-tribulation rapture and the millennium and all this stuff. And he said, I don't want to mess up my testimony. He's dying. He's 64. He's younger than me. He's dying. He said, I don't want to mess up my testimony. And he said, the second thing is he said, your mama's been with me and been through thick and thin. And he said, you'll learn about that. He said, people picked on your mama and blamed your mama and talked about your mama and done this and that and the other, and your mama stuck with me, pastoring churches. Can you imagine pastoring a church run nearly 3,000 people, the amount of people that talked about my mama? Can you imagine that? He said, well, surely not. I've known churches of 10 that talk about the preacher's wife. Well, unless you've ever been one, maybe you might want to go. But at any rate, that's his word. I'm quoting his deathbed confession. You know? And he said, but I don't want to say anything that would hurt your mama. And that all she remembers is me saying something mean to her at the end of my life. I said, okay. I'm thinking, if you think I'm going to put a pillow over your head, you're wrong, man. I ain't going to have to do it, you know. But he's leaning like that. And I said, okay, Daddy, what do you want me to do? He said, if you see that happening, he said, go to the doctor. He said, I've already talked to him. And give me enough medicine to knock me out. Not kill me. Just keep me from talking. I said, well, Daddy, you know, people understand. He said, boy, you don't get it, do you? I said, well, apparently not. Enlighten me. He said, all they remember is how you die.
Amen.
And he said, all the years I've done what I've done and everything else, he said, all they'll remember is I spouted off some fake doctrine, or I spouted off some curse words, or I spouted off something against your mama. He said, that'll be all they talk about in all the 30-something years or 40-something years I've been in the ministry. That's all they'll talk about. That's profound.
Amen.
You want to pray for me? Pray I die on the right side of things. I go out kicking and screaming, and in spite of what the worldly trends are and the worldly ways of getting along, and pray I go out on the God side. Because you know what's going to happen if I'm standing here and telling you the truth? What's going to happen is it's going to get harder and harder. You know what's going to get most of you? It won't be routine duty. You know what will get you? You want to be liked by the world because you're oddballs. I believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. And they're like, well, you're an uneducated idiot. Try to raise your kids right? Well, what's wrong with, you know, letting your kids make up their own mind? Well, they can make up their own mind after they move out.
Amen.
You did.
Amen.
I'm not taking away your free will. Let them make up your... They don't have a mind to make up. 6 years old and they decide... You want to go to church. That's like you want to take some paregoric or some castor oil. Castor oil. You ain't lived till you had that. I think I ought to buy a gallon of it and just have everybody come by for Lord's Supper one day. We'll put a little dye in it. And thank the Lord for the blood and then have you... Oh, what was that? You ain't lived till you have castor oil. It cures everything. Or at least you're sick a whole lot less. If you know that's the medicine, it's like, no, I ain't sick. I'm good. I'm good. I feel real good. Got some castor oil for you. No, I'm really. I feel fine. Aren't you coughing? No. You know, I had something stuck in my throat. I'm good. You ain't lived. You had it. Go home. Try it. I'm not talking about castor oil like you put in the crankcase. That's good compared to castor oil. Jeremiah chapter number. Where are we at here? 16, right? 16. Thanks for keeping up. Verse number 12. Make it 11. Then shalt thou say unto them, because your fathers have forsaken me, saith the Lord, and you have walked after other gods and served them and have worshipped them and have forsaken me and have not kept the law, semicolon. Here's what's going to happen. And you have done worse than your fathers. You say, why? What you do in moderation, your kids do in excess. I've told you that at least 100 times. I know you don't believe me, but that's what the Bible says. You've done worse than your fathers. For behold, you walk everyone after the imagination of what? His evil heart, that they may not hearken unto me. Therefore, I'll cast you out of this land, and land, and so on and so forth. He gives them. He winds up getting them. You say, why? Their problem's their heart. He said, listen, what your mom and daddy started ain't nothing compared to what you're doing now. Well, how's your heart? I don't know how your heart is. My heart's good. Good. He used to end sermons years ago, Jeremiah chapter number 18. Probably Brother Larry might remember this, Brother Ernie. Some of you older folks, Miss Pat would. Not that you're as old as them at all, by any stretch of the imagination. But I did use you as an illustration this week for faithfulness.
Amen.
And I used it intentionally to stick them. That here she is by herself and doing the best she can, and she's been here every time the doors are open. She plays for the soldiers. She used to play at the nursing home when we were able to go. She never missed any meetings. She's played for a lot of your weddings. She's played for a lot of your funerals. I've had her with me in a multitude of places, not just here, but other places to do that. You say, what is that? Just a faithful elderly woman. Can you tell me when she was involved in a controversy? Can you tell me when somebody, that she was the topic of conversation of one of your gossip sessions? She serves as much or more than anybody.
Amen.
Hour per hour, she puts in more time than the Sunday school teachers do.
Right.
I mean, she's right up there where I'm at. She's here all the time. Can you tell me where she's embroiled in some kind of a... Can you tell me where she's embroiled in a controversy? Can you tell me where she's sitting over to the side and you guys are going to dinner so she can tell you, you know, well, I was up there playing and the preacher was going to sing, but man, he was flat. He was a little sharp. He was a little off. I did my best to try to cover for the poor old fellow, you know, that kind of stuff. Can you tell me? She's been here 20 years.
Amen.
She's Got a parking place right there.
Amen.
You say, why? Because I know she'll always need it.
Amen.
Same thing be said about you? No, you got reason, don't you? That's how I used it there.
Sure.
She got reasons. You ought to appreciate all the people that are doing all the things, but you ought to every now and then go by and say, I sure appreciate it. You realize what it was like when we used to have church without an organ?
Amen.
You remember that. You say, what does that do? That just adds something sort of churchy. I mean, you can't really, you know, do the wiggle worm or whatever. You can't, an organ plays, it's like, knocks the edge off of it, doesn't it? You know what you don't find? You don't find organs in church as much anymore. You say, why? We're going to get some contemporary going. You bring them chords on that organ in. Say, well, I know how to play the organ. That's why you ain't playing it. You bring that organ in and all of a sudden it kind of flattens that flesh a little, doesn't it? You going to tell me the service doesn't change? Everything's going along. People are talking and all of a sudden she starts playing a prelude to a funeral. Do you realize when Michael died, she sat up there and played that organ for, for the viewing was better part of 4 hours.
Right.
Miss Pat, don't you need to take a break? I'm fine. Miss Pratt, I'm fine. Just playing.
Amen.
I bet you not a single person there was even thinking what was going on. You said, what did it do? It sets a tone, doesn't it? I'll say it. She ain't going to say it. Now I guarantee you, after church, she's going, now you shouldn't be saying stuff like that about me. And, you know, that's just embarrassing to me. And I was liking the sermon until you got there. And then I already know what's coming. She'll come by here. I'll be shaking somebody's hand. And she'll just stick that little hand through there. And she'll go, that was good, preacher. That was good. You keep that up here. You know, and then goes out. Her granddaughter's a missionary. I had the privilege of planting her husband. Had him stand up there and talk about what grandma meant to him.
Amen.
Was that pretty good testimony, I think. A good way to start.
Amen.
Jeremiah chapter 18. Trying to hurry, but it ain't really going too good. Verse number 12. I keep going up one. That's my main verse. Here it is. Verse 10. If it do evil in my sight, that obey not my voice. Then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. Now therefore go to, speak to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you, and devise a device against you. Return ye now, every one, from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. Now here it is. You think your Bible's not up to date? Watch their response. That's straight from the Lord. And they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will everyone do the imagination of his evil heart. Wow. That's one of the greatest preachers in the Old Testament. He said, thus saith the Lord. That was a warning. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Do what I tell you. Stop it. Stop it. You know what they said? Tell him we're going to do according to the imaginations of the evil of our own heart. Tell him we're going to show him what we think of him. I don't know about you, but to me that's pretty bold. Let me at least get through Jeremiah. Okay? Jeremiah chapter number 23. Does any of this, and this isn't intended, does any of this make any sense to you or make you maybe reconsider that maybe the problem is not everybody else? Does it make you pause and think that maybe everybody else does have a problem, but maybe it's not as big as yours? And does it ever make you pause to think that maybe you've been seeing things the wrong way? Does it ever think, you know something, maybe I've been deceived by my own heart? You ever had this conversation? You sit down with somebody to talk to them, and you think you know what you're communicating with them. Right? And then when they repeat it back to you, it's like, what planet are you on? Has that ever happened to you?
Amen.
If you're married, that's happened to you more than once. Y'all, you're so fickle. You're like, oh no, I don't even know. You look like a blinking frog in a hailstorm. No, isn't that? It's like, you know, well, it's getting dark outside. It ain't dark outside. I said it was storming. No, you didn't. It's dark. Well, it's dark because it's storming. I thought you said it was midnight. It's 3 p.m. I didn't say it was midnight. I said it was dark because there's clouds and they're producing rain. And therefore, it's dark. But I didn't mean dark meant night. And you think it meant midnight. Which you wouldn't work in midnight in Alaska. It you can say time says it's dark. You look out the window, it ain't dark. It's weird, man. You ever done that? All right, let me ask you a question. Have you ever thought that you were trying to tell the Lord one thing and ever considered that maybe what you thought He was hearing wasn't what you were saying at all? Because your heart was deceived, and therefore you were seeing things from the wrong perspective. You ever done that before? Oh, since I've been studying this, I'm like questioning myself all the time. If you were to follow me around and thank the Lord she hasn't turned me in yet or not, or, you know, set some pills on the counter or whatever, but I'm standing in the mirror going, that ain't what you said. And she's like, I didn't say anything. I'm not talking to you. Oh, that's even worse. This is what you said. I didn't say anything. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to Him. Ooh. Hello, Funny Farm? Could I just ask you a question? When somebody's talking to themselves, should I be concerned? No, ma'am. Don't worry about it at all. Unless they start answering. Okay, thank you. It is not what you said. Yes, it is too what you said. Hello, Funny Farm. He's answering himself. Good luck with that. Right? Here's what I'm trying to get you to see. Have you ever paused long enough to think that sometimes the way you perceive things is because there's something wrong with you and that everybody around you is really not as messed up as you think they are? You ever think that? Can I say this to you? And then the flip side of that. Now hear me carefully, because I've been hard on you tonight. So let me soften it. Sometimes you're right. Sometimes you didn't think wrong. And the conundrum you get into is if you don't have a Bible to keep you straight, you get to thinking there's something wrong with you for being right. Did you just get that? You got that. You're like, oh, yeah. It's not to just make you question yourself. It's to make you see what the Bible says, so I make sure that what I'm thinking is in line with that. Because let me tell you this. The Bible says the heart is desperately deceitful above all things. Who can know it? I can be deceived by my own heart. That's why He gave you a Bible, and I can check my heart with the Bible. And if I'm right, then the problem's not me. And the problem with some of you is that you think you're wrong when you're actually right. And then you get what's called false conviction. And somebody somewhere along the line is going to be blaming you and say, you're the problem and you did this and you did that, when you didn't do anything wrong at all. Your heart was right. Your motive was right. Sometimes our method can get messed up, right? That's how we learn. But don't let the devil jump on you when you know that your heart is in line with the Bible and you say, this is what I think about that. And they're like, oh, I can't believe that you're nice. Well, wait. And then you go check it. Okay, I know I'm right about that. Then don't get under false conviction and come running to the altar and say, God, I'm just wrong. And I'm like, no. Don't be a jerk. Don't be a snot. Ma'am, sometimes I hate to tell you this. You are right in an argument. And the reason I hate to tell you this is that sometimes you get browbeaten to thinking just because he's the man, he's supposed to never be wrong. Can I say this? And I'm a man. Men can be deceived in thinking that just because they're a man, they're always right. Well, men ain't always right.
Amen.
Our hearts can get messed up too. So what do I do? Well, you duke it out with them. Just keep arguing with them. No, you can't fix their heart. Here's the mistake you make, and I'm done. But it only takes about 15 minutes to finish, okay? Here's the mistake you make. You keep trying to make your point to fix something you can't fix. None of you in here have the ability, none of us in here have the ability to change someone's heart. None of us. I don't care what a great orator you are. I don't care what ability you have. I don't care the command of the English language you have. I don't care how many stinking books you've read on psychiatry and how you can sit back and you can analyze and you can go that. I don't care how much you've been listening to Peterson and I can figure, well, the way this is this is a personality type and I realize about this personality type. You're giving yourself credit for stuff you don't know nothing about because you can use a few big words. You think you're a psychiatrist. And because he has a million followers, you're thinking, oh, well, he must be right. He don't trump the Bible. But you know what happens? You get there and start analyzing things instead of going, you know what? I can't change their heart. So let me just help you. Stop arguing. You're trying to change something. Are you hearing me? You're trying to change something you can't change. Watch. When it comes to biblical doctrine, inherited, not salvation, an heretic, not leading somebody to the Lord, somebody that claims to be saved, somebody that claims to be in fellowship, a heretic, that's somebody that knows a little bit of the Bible, after the first and the second admonition, reject. Knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth against himself. He's got a heart problem. You know what the Lord just said to you? You can't fix him. You can even win an argument, but you can't fix him. You say, why? Only the Lord can fix a heart problem. Now, that should give you some peace, but it also should take some pressure off of some of you who are beating your head against the wall, arguing with somebody, and you're so frustrated. And here's what happened. That frustration eventually leads to agitation. And then the agitation leads to irritation. And then before long, it leads to separation. And you are ready to duke it out. And the Lord's like, I could have saved you all that if you just recognize I'm the only heart surgeon in town.
Amen.
I'm the only one who can fix it. You have a problem, ma'am, sir, with your wife? You know what you need to do? You need to talk to the heart surgeon. Now, don't go bombarding his office and walking there. Hey, I done all the diagnostics. I can tell you right now, she got a heart problem, and it's black as the exhaust pipes of hell itself. And here's what you need to do. You need to get in there, and when you cut her, don't use too much anesthesia. Let her feel it a little bit. You know what I'm saying? I mean, don't kill her, but let her wiggle around a little bit, you know, and let her know I've been right all this time. And the Lord's going to say, lay down, boy. I know who needs some work. But let me help you in your marriage. Let me help you in your work life. Let me help them with your friends and stuff. Sometimes you get frustrated and you mean well, but you're arguing with somebody because they got a heart problem and only the Lord can fix that heart problem.
Right. Amen.
You say, what do? You go talk to the surgeon.
Amen.
Have one of them come to Jesus meetings. Jesus, I need some help here because I'm trying to fix something and I can't fix it.
Right.
And I don't know how to fix it. And I ain't got the vocabulary and I don't have the wherewithal. Could you help me out, please? Can you fix it? Now, here's the bad thing. He'll only fix it if they lay down.
Amen.
He won't fix it just because you ask him to.
Right.
So here's the second part of the prayer. You ready? And Lord, if you choose not to fix it because they don't want to have it fixed, Lord, give me the heart to be kind and to be gracious and to be merciful and to be long-suffering. And help me to realize that they got a problem and it's not right for me to keep on picking at them to try to fix something I can't fix. I got to learn to let it go. It ain't easy. Painful. Especially when you know that it's their problem. And now you're asking the Lord, give me the grace You might be surprised the Lord might fix your heart and give you the grace. And it doesn't bother you as bad. And the next thing you know, you're thinking, you know, that's not really that big of a deal. And then the Lord said, who was it you said had a heart problem? Because oftentimes we accuse other people of the sins we're guilty of ourselves. In the old days, they come to an end of a meeting. They still do it in Carolina. Come down to the end of a meeting, especially if it got good, the Lord got in the meeting, whatever that is, and things got, you know, good, and people got tore slap out and all that kind of deal. And the preacher would get up and he'd pray, and then he'd say this. He'd say, all right, now, all hearts clear. And he'd wait. All right, he'd say, y'all have a good evening. All hearts clear. Yeah, I've got a few things I need to work on. Okay, good. Diagnostics is the biggest part of the problem. It's bad to be working on your toe when you know you got a tooth problem. Father, bless your word, and I'm asking you if you could please bless the hard work of all these people that have done all the things that have been done, hopefully, prayerfully, for you to get the glory, and that they did it for you. But secondly, Lord, that you might let us as a church and the facilities that you've given us, they might be used for your honor and for your glory, but to be a blessing, a help, and an encouragement to all these little ones that come here to have Vacation Bible School. Lord, please don't let them see some ugly adults doing stupid and foolish things in front of the kids. Help them to come and to enjoy things and have a good time. Pray you'll protect them, Lord, both coming and going. And while they're here, that none of them get hurt, not just physically. But that, Lord, the marks that will be placed upon them there in Vacation Bible School will be spiritual marks. May we see some people saved, some kids saved, some young kids, some children saved this week. If nothing else, Lord, would you supernaturally give all the people that are working here, give them strength, give them patience, give them compassion. Help us, Lord, to work together as one unit. To do the things that need to be done for your honor and for your glory. Help us to park our pride outside the door when we walk in. And help us to serve all these little ones as if they were our own children and as if their eternity really does matter. Thank you, Lord, for the people that have already worked. Thank you, Lord, for the platform that has already been built and put together, for the practice that has been done, for the teachers that have prepared, for all the orchestration and administration of all the many things that have to be done from the food thereon. I'd pray, Lord, that you might please bless now what we've done in a feeble manner. But would you please breathe on it, Lord, and let us see some results from it. We sure do thank you for the privilege of being able to do something for you. And Lord, please let us blow it out. If ever before we've had a good VBS, this could be our last one. We went through 1 year without one. Lord, would you please do something supernaturally for us? We pray and ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.